The message title today is, what it was, oh, yes. Being Perfected. Being Perfected. By the way, how many of you have gone through all kinds of ups and downs in your life? No. Just me? Okay. I want to read a passage. If you have your, I'm in the English Standard Version, and this is a passage. I want to start with this. And we'll just enjoy the ride this morning. And yesterday, we drove back in that rain from Louisville to Kentucky. And we had a little breakfast at IHOP. And I was like wired with caffeine and syrup. Yeah. So we went for a while. And somebody wanted to get off. And we used the restroom and said, we want to buy some gummy bears. So I have more coffee and gummy bears. And then we got into Barbersville, whatever, and there was like next to Honey's, and there was a Hobby Lobby. The girls wanted to go look at the Hobby Lobby. They weren't in there long, but guess what was next to it? Chipotle. So we had Chipotle, and now I was wired for the rest of the trip. Yeah, right next door to the Hobby Lobby. It's amazing. So we got back, and then when I got back, man, I was tired. Right in the rain, you know, this is a little more taxing. The day down there was just delightful. But anyway, we're in Psalm 138, and this is a Psalm of David. I want you to know that I want to ask you to repeat some words with me, and as we go through this, it says, I will praise you with my whole heart. Say praise, would you?
Praise.
Before the gods, I will sing praises to you. How about praises?
Praises.
I will worship toward your holy temple. How about worship? I will praise your name. Praise. Get the idea of what we're doing here? For your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word above your name. In the day when I cried out, you answered me and made me bold with strength in my soul. Anybody need to hear this? All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, when they hear the words of your mouth. And that could be a prophetic picture of when he comes back or anytime. Yes, they will sing of your way, of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. I love this next one. Though the Lord is on high, he regards the lowly. How many of you felt lower than a snake's belly in a wagon wheel rut? That's low. But he the proud, he knows from afar. He knows them, but he's far off from the proud. He's on high, but he regards the lowly. And here's, maybe this can sum up some of your days recently. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you'll revive me. You'll stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand will save me. And here it is. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Say that. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Let's say it again. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. One more time. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands. And the that was actually the New King James. This for the English Standard Version says, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. One says, the Lord will perfect that which concerns me, because that's the one the Lord quickened in my spirit. Looking in the other version, the Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Now, I want to ask you all a question. Was asked this yesterday, and I thought it was profound. When do you grow the most? When do you grow the most? Come on. In trouble, what? When do you grow? No, when do you grow? Yeah, when stretched? Challenges? How about conflict? Right? Trouble? Okay. So this, would you all agree your primary times of growth are out of struggles, tribulations, that kind of thing? Right? Okay. Next question. What kind of situations do we often want to get out of the most? Okay, so we were exhorted by our new district supervisor, Peter Bonanno, that he said, embrace our inadequacy. Embrace our inadequacy. How many of you feel, I don't have enough to pull off what's ahead? I need, go ahead and embrace that. Embrace that. And the other thing he said, and this is really interesting, not to stay in one place too long. Why? Because when you get comfortable and you lay back and you're in the comfort thing, something happens. You get complacent. Are you there? It seems that the Americans seem to be very addicted to comfort and preachers of comfort. And so when a time of growth comes, what he was encouraging us to do was don't stay too long. In other words, always have another challenge. And you know what? Here's what I've discovered. If you don't arrange one, God does. He loves you and he wants you to grow. Go ahead, as I say, you will perfect that which concerns me. Jesus said this in John 16:33, I have said these things to you that in me you might have peace, and the world you will have tribulation. That word means pressing, crushing, struggle, that kind of thing. Take heart, I've overcome the world. Paul says in Philippians 1:6, I am sure of this. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. Now, most of us, it's usually some kind of crisis to brings us to Christ. Is that right? It hurts too much over here. I need some help. Life has become a tad unmanageable, and I've been fooling myself a long time. I need some help. I've been in blindness toward my inability, and I have been insecure about it, and I've played God and tried to pull it off all myself, and now I'm really out of control, and nothing's working. And that's called pain, and that's called pressure. And we had a most remarkable time Wednesday as my daughter was teaching on this, that people today need a believer in Jesus Christ who can go through something in front of them and come out trusting in Jesus and them see that it's a workable relationship with God that changes you and you don't act the way you used to. Are you there? Because that's the real preaching of the gospel. The gospel is not about, I got to tell you how bad you are before I tell you the good news. That stinks. Jesus never did that. There were only two times when Jesus actually talked to a sinner about their sin. Twice, out of all the people. He always had good news, always. The one time was when the lady was caught in adultery and they brought her up and they said, who without sin cast the first stone, right? Remember that? Anybody remember that? It's in the Bible. Anybody? It's in the Bible. Okay. And then he says to her, basically, go and stop practicing this kind of sin. Go and sin no more. That's one of the times. The other time was when the 38-year-old man who was by the pool there, who was invalid, and Jesus asked, do you want to be healed? And he said, well, I can't get in the water on time, you know. And he just authoritatively spoke, you know. He says, rise up, take your bed and walk. And the guy, on the basis of the word of Jesus, got up, left that place. Jesus hunted him down later and said, stop sinning lest something worse come upon you. Those are only two times in the whole New Testament that Jesus ever addressed a sinner about their sin. And he gave them a miracle first. He released condemnation from. Come on. It's none of your business to get in anybody else's business about their failures. It's only your business to do this, to show up with the goodness of God and say, if you were half as long-suffering with others as God was long-suffering with you, you'd be loved a whole lot. It is not the Christians who died and left you God. Come on. It is not our role ever to be judgmental. And that's what the church is known for, judgmentalness. Makes you, it's Pharisaism. Has nothing to do. People insecure about their own life, judging other people because you're insecure about your life. And if you get real honest about how deeply you need God and embrace your own inadequacy and realize, I was talking to some, used to be an official in the county, retired from that or whatever, and he said, how you doing? I said, well, he goes, how you doing, Pastor? I said, well, I'm just trying to get along without messing up too much. He wasn't used to a man of God or somebody representing the Lord talking like that. He exploded and laughed. He's like, oh, my God, it made his day. Here's a pastor in town just wanting not to mess up a whole lot. Yeah, and there's just the joy of, hey, you know, I'm trusting in the Lord like everybody else who knows the Lord to live the life. All right, how about you? I just wanted to have fun today, and I'm trying to have a little bit myself. Are you enjoying this? So when God, this is one, I don't know why, it's one of my favorite scriptures, is we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, that He has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And if you sit down with somebody who, maybe call them a pre-Christian, somebody who's just wanting to know about things of God, and you sit down with them and you say, hey, what are your hopes in life? What are some of your great desires in life? And they start talking. Do you know that they will end up talking about the reason God made them? And if you just cue in there and listen, you can affirm the thing that God is saying through them. Because most people want to have what's fulfilled, what they're made for, to be fulfilled. And if you just listen to the Holy Spirit, you can affirm that moment. Say, oh, wow, God made you for that. He did? How many of you know most people don't trust God ever? I was talking with a lady, and she said, the love of God showed up. I can't explain it, but the Lord's love showed up. And we were talking, and I said, you know, me inviting you to church and us talking like this wouldn't make any sense because you don't know me from anything. She goes, I know. I said, but God's here. And she goes, yep. And she says, I think I really have an offense against God. And I said, nah, you don't. No, it's against somebody who represented Him. She goes, you're right. Went right into that little spot there. It's like, yeah, I need to forgive them. People sometimes just know what they need to do. And we need the empowerment to do it, right? This is the longest introduction. Okay, we're doing all right. I'm going to bring it in real good. You're going to get out early today. Elbow somebody and say, hold him to it, Jesus. Hold him to it, Jesus. One of my other all-time favorite passages, just listen and cue in here, 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 31. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish. Raise your hand. In the world to shame the wise. Wow. God chose what is weak in the world. Raise your hand. To shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised. Raise your hand. In the world, even the things that are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, so that no human might boast in the presence of God. Because of Him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification, redemption, all big words we can find out about later. So that, as it is written, let one who boasts, boast in the Lord. And let's just jump on this, and then we'll go to the first fill in the blank. Here's my last little scripture. Let's say it again. The Lord perfects that which concerns me. How many of you are perfected yet? No, it's going to be some time. The longer I've been with the Lord, the more I realize I'm just not done yet. And I remember coming to this church years ago, and I felt like I was just going to function in the gifts and help people along the way. And I somehow got it in my mind that I had grown enough. And the Lord said these words to me. You're not just like Jesus just yet. The way He said that, you're not just like Jesus just yet, was designed for me. You're not just like Jesus just yet. And it's going to take some time. Especially for you. I said this a couple of weeks ago, but don't let the thick hair fool you. The head's thicker. It takes time to learn. Oh my goodness gracious. And Paul said in Philippians 3:12, he said, not that I have already attained or am already perfect, but I press on. Everybody say press on. Press on. To make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Peter Bonanno would really like Paul because Paul said, it doesn't matter what's coming. I'm just going to be close to Jesus no matter what I go through. I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now look at this. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. How many of you found that that's a pretty much a big order right there? On a real bad, evil day, things come and you just want to start to go backwards. Let's just stand firm in what I've given you, because once you go through that, I'll perfect. Through this day of trouble, I'll perfect. I'll revive your soul, give you strength, and I will perfect in you. And it really ends up being less of whatever was in you that was in the way and more of him that's not in the way. It ends up being that like that. How many of you go around certain things over and over and over and you go, I thought I should be through this by now, but it wasn't as hard as last time. Like Gladys says, we haven't arrived, but we left. Isn't that right? So your first feeling of like, get ready. It's a big, long, obnoxious sentence, but it's good. Know that God will work in you through what you go through. Know that God will work in you through what you go through. If he wasn't doing this, we'd just give up. But you got to know that God will work in you through what you go through. Is that right? I said, is that right? Everybody's just, know that God will work in and through you. Now, I'm going to talk about a little passage here in Romans chapter 8, starting with verse 26, and it travels down a little bit. So let's gather around the pulpit here. Listen to these amazing words. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Now, what we're talking about here is we get help when we're weak. And most don't lay hold of that. Likewise, the Holy Spirit, this passage is about you and me being weak and God making up for it and perfecting you in the midst of when you're weak. For we do not know what to pray as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. There are moments when your weakness is overwhelming to you, and the Holy Spirit comes to your aid and makes your heart cry a prayer. He hears the woe, he feels the pain, and he speaks in a language out of your soul's pain to the ears of heaven in intercession. The groanings are too deep for words, but they're intercession. And it happens when you acknowledge that you're just too weak in a situation to go through on your own. This is very important for when you're in a time of trouble and when you're overwhelmed and you don't think that you're all that and you want to give up and throw in the towel and the culture has changed and everything's different and, oh God, I'm so uncomfortable, I can't explain it. If I think about what tomorrow might bring, I might explode and want to give up. And the Lord says, you're feeling weak, aren't you? I have a solution for you. There's going to come some groaning, but we're going to do some praying together. And I'm going to bring you through. And he who searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Somehow your heart cry is turned into God's will being expressed in the heavens. And then, and only then, in the basis of the acknowledgement of your weakness and the partnership with the Holy Spirit to do profound prayer in that context, the next verse makes all the sense in the world. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose. It's when you acknowledge your vulnerability and you embrace your inadequacy. And you say, I don't have what it takes. And Jesus says, well, I've sent the Spirit of God to say what you don't know how to say and to pray in the way you don't know how to pray and to do something deep in you because I'm perfecting that which concerns you. And I'm going to take what was wrong and I'm going to work in you and I'm going to make it turn out good and right. And I'm going to cause it to be wonderful. And I'm going to change everything. I'm going to work in you first. And it's all going to change. Let's all praise the Lord for a minute. Thank you, Jesus. For those, he says, the next verse, he foreknew. This is kind of like peek in on you and go, he knew that we were going to end up in places where travail was necessary. And he says, in the midst of that, I saw that there was going to come a time when, so I went ahead and destined that time for you to be conformed to the image of my Son. And everything is about the transforming or the conforming of your own inner identity to being one of his sons. How many of you have just, I was studying the blind spot, the concept of the blind spot in the eye. And if you go on Wikipedia, they actually have a little chart. And they have for the right and the left, or I think they have the R over there. And if you cover your right eye and you look to the left and you start about 3 inches from the page and you come back, there will be one little point there where on this side over here, like the R over here, it'll disappear. And then you back up and you see it. There's a blind spot in your eye. And you do it with both eyes. And when you pull back, it disappears. God's made your eye with a blind spot. How many of you know you got a blind spot? How many of you? I got married so I could try to cover that thing. I heard a couple one time they got together said, so we're both so much alike, we got a big blind spot. And that's real something because you don't see. And you'll go along and you'll go along and you'll go along and you're just something you don't see. And you just don't see it. And the Lord says, we're going to address it now. Because you're not just like Jesus just yet. You see, there's a blind spot. Maybe it's in the, who knows what it's around. And look, people have Heather was talking earlier, people have time trusting God and fill in the blank. And they don't know that God is good and created the very desires of their heart to fulfill their life because they're a masterpiece covered in mud. And Jesus don't care about the mud. He just wants to get the masterpiece going. He wants to save you out of the mud and set you up and partner with you and bring to fulfillment what he designed in you all along. And that's his goal. That's kingdom. And you don't trust. Well, I don't trust him with my heart. I don't trust him with my relationships. I don't trust him with my money. I don't trust him with fill in the blank. But then you begin to. Because everything's out of control and unmanageable. And you got to start somewhere. So you start showing up. And you'll hear something of the Word of God come into your heart. And God starts to put a key in there and turn something. And something starts to change. And because of the understanding that is spoken from the truth, there's a quickening of faith. And you start to rise up and you go, well, I can do that. And then the flesh goes, nah, you don't want to do that. How many of you? Later. And later doesn't come until the pain of not making the decision mounts. Is that right? That's why Paul said, not that I've attained, but I'm pressing on. Let's give God the benefit of the doubt and go ahead and honor his word and jump in. Here's why. And we're doing really good. Verse 31 out of this Romans 8. What then shall we say to these things? I love this verse. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Now this is not a stingy God. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Somebody picks on you and God says, get away from them. I've forgiven all their sin. Listen to this. If I went over to Ray's house and I burned his house down, Ray could say, I forgive you, but somebody's still got to pay for it. So his forgiveness would be based on a great personal cost to himself to rebuild his own house. Is that right? Or he could say, you owe me. You owe me. That's called justice. And guess what? God needed justice at the cross because we burned his house down by our sinning. And he says, I'm not going to make you pay for it, but I want to pay for it. I'm going to pay. But you're not paying. My son is going to pay. And Jesus came and died. And God burned his house down. He paid. And justice has been done. And forgiveness came with great cost. Great cost. Great personal cost to God. So forgiveness isn't easy. It's just free. It's been paid for. Let's go ahead and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If he didn't give his own, if he didn't, not only didn't spare his own son, how much more will he give you all things? He just, that gets the mud off of you. Now let's go ahead and build a life. Let's go ahead and build a person up that can actually be in somebody's life and help hose them off without getting scared of the mud. Are you there? And then as we work through this, and by the way, these other 2 points will go by so fast, you'll say, hold on a minute there. But I wanted to really lock on this one. Who is to condemn? Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. I just love this, how in the same passage we got the Holy Spirit crying out on the inside of you in the midst of your weakness, and then the affirmation comes that, by the way, Jesus is praying for you too because he laid his life down. It says, well, who can separate us from the love of God in Christ? Now here's the point. Nothing. When you're in trouble, when you're going through the pressure, when you're under it says right here, persecutions or tribulation or famine or nakedness, or nothing. Nothing. Nothing separates us. Nothing separates us from God's love. So don't let it in your mind do it. Don't say God did it. God's not with me. That's a lie. That's not true. That's not true. You know how to just really go down in the hole real quick? God's not with me. There goes the hole. You're going right back. Yes, he is. Whoop, gotcha. Yes, God's with you. He's always been with you. He's never not been with you. It's well, you haven't seen the goodness of the Lord. So many people, we kind of get this thing mixed up with, you know, the repent. Well, you know what repent means? It means turn. Just turn. Turn around. There's such negative connotation with the word repent, I think, in a lot of people. Repent! And all these negative guys, repent! You're trying to point out your sins. But it's really believe the gospel, believe the goodness of God. The good news. There's good news. Get to what's the good news. The good news is so good you can't help but turn around and go the other way. That's the gospel of Jesus. Jesus is so cool, so good. He paid all this debt. My God. And now he's helping me learn how to live. And filling me up with his life and his love. And I got his love. And I believed all this junk. And now I don't believe it anymore. I believe him. Life's turning out better. Let's hang out together so we can talk about this more. Because I'm growing. I'm changing. Right? Okay, let's go to the last ones. Number two. To be perfected, you'll need these attitudes here to respond. Be humble, steadfast, and prayerful. You're going to need, the way life works, if you're not humble, if you don't choose humility, you'll be humiliated. It will work out for you that way. I have this paper on your paper, this scripture here. Let's look at it right quick. 1 Peter 5. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. There you go. casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. Be sober-minded, be watchful, that's being prayerful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith. Everybody say firm in your faith. That's steadfastness. Now this is amazing. Knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And you, and after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace who has called you to His eternal glory in Christ will Himself restore, confirm, establish, strengthen, and establish you. I say it again, be humble. And that really isn't being... there's a thing, I used to struggle with this. What I'm not talking about, if somebody says, man, that's a nice looking coat you got there. Oh, well, I just, you know, but Jesus gave it. That's false humility. Just say thanks. It just get all that junk out of the way. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. You look nice yourself. All humble and all. I'm just kidding. There's going to be days when you just need to stand firm. And as we've already talked about the peripheral part. And so let's go ahead and jump on the last thing. We're last little point here. See, I told you these were quick. Number three, be the blessing you want to receive. This is most extraordinary good principle. Be the blessing you want to receive. Be the blessing you want to receive. This puts you right out of your selfishness. This step you right out of your selfishness. Step you right out of me first. Right? That one? Be the blessing you want to receive. This will cause you to grow. This is what Jesus did. This is how He lived His life. He would show up and be the blessing. How many of you know the biggest problem that you probably faced in coming to the Lord? I used to think it was pride, but I think it's just willingness. If you can find somebody who's willing, they'll deal with their pride. Everybody say willingness. Willingness. What makes a person willing? I think willingness ends up being a gift too, don't you? Willingness. Are you willing? Are you willing to allow the Lord to establish what He wants to establish in your life? Are you willing? If you're willing, then He'll give you the ability to do it. The will and the to-do is a gift from God. You and I are so hard-headed, stiff-necked, and heading the other way when it comes to the actual things that will liberate us and bring us into the truth and the blessings of the Lord. And He says, if you're willing and obedient, you'll taste the fruits of the land. And people would choose to blame God and stay unfruitful than allow Him to work willingness in them. How many of you want to just go ahead and throw up your hand and say, I want to be willing more than ever in these days for the Lord to do the things that He wants to help me have a willing spirit, an obedient spirit, a responsiveness to You, Lord? Spirit of God, fall fresh here. Oh, wow. Clarity just came to some people. There's been points at which you have been unwilling. The Lord says, you know what they are. There's points of resistance in your own soul. He says, if you will cause your own heart right now to come into an awareness that I will cause my blessing to come into your life, you give me a willing attitude. Even when it comes to giving, He says, not unwillingly, not reluctantly, willingly. Come to the Lord willingly. When I get at this moment, sometimes in the service, sometimes before, I perceive. The Lord opens up these little pictures and understandings of people's hearts and stuff. There is someone here that you've had head knowledge about the forgiveness of God, but not heart knowledge. And today, He's opening up your heart and mind to understand that He's serious about washing you from your sins. He's serious about it, and you receive it today. Today you go, I get it. Before you saw Jesus on the cross, now you go, He's on there for me. You're getting it. You're getting it. Today's your day. And there's a flood of help by the Holy Spirit, they'll come into you and begin to wash away what's been a stain to your soul. When you're stained, you're embarrassed. You're ashamed when you're stained. But the Lord washes where there's nothing to be ashamed of. Let's praise the Lord for a moment. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Let the washing come, Lord. Let the washing come. Let the washing come. Receive. You might just say the words, wash me, Lord. Wash me, Lord. Cleanse me, Jesus. Cleanse me, Jesus. It is my desire to be willing and obedient to you, obey the gospel of Jesus, and allow the goodness of God to flood my life and have him repair and restore and set in motion the things that I have need of. There's a brokenness. It's a healing. You can grieve so long over something. The Lord says, I'm going to heal you now. I'm going to touch you now. It's going to change today. I'm going to release my healing into you. You can receive it. Settle that in your heart. Say, I receive what you're wanting to give me. If I did not spare my own son, how much more will I not give you all things? The Lord perfects that which concerns you. He perfects it. He fulfills his purpose for your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's one other little verse on the paper here, and it's really a prophetic verse for where our church is going. And it says, but seek the welfare of the city where I sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. Let's just go ahead, just offer our hearts and our prayers and our gratitude. Perfect, O God, perfect all these things that concern us, our future together. Whatever hell has mounted against the soul, against the body, against individuals, against us corporately, we lift up our praise and gratitude to you to see these things topple before you. Let's go ahead and stand together, guys, just for a moment. Just praise the Lord with me. Praise you, Lord. The Lord is perfecting those things which concern us. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Would you praise him with me for a moment? Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Open to, as you come into his throne room with a grateful heart, open to a fresh release. A fresh release of these things setting in motion, whether it's the cleansing of the heart, a healing of something broken, a reestablishing of what was something that was maybe taken away. In the name of Jesus, we stand our ground, Lord, and with a prayerful attitude, we humble our hearts and say, Lord, pour out, pour out, pour out. Hallelujah. Pour out, pour out, pour out. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Receive that again. Would you say, it's my choice to be the blessing I want to receive. It's my choice to be the blessing I want to receive. Lord, we love you so much. We love you so much. We thank you for the dynamic bond that we have with you. I pray, Lord, for those new among us, that there would be an unusual comfort that you would walk with them this week and just keep whispering in their ear how deeply and profoundly you love them. Let everybody here have their heart renewed with the depth of God's love for them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.